Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special music tonight, and what a blessing it always is being in church here at the Lighthouse, and we just come to expect good music, and I think we have that, and it's something that ministers to the spirit and the soul, and that's exactly what kind of music we want here. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me in the book of 1 Kings chapter 19, 1 Kings chapter 19. For some time now, we've been here studying in the life of the great prophet Elijah, the great and powerful prophet Elijah. The Bible has much to say about Elijah and the Old Testament, also in the New Testament. I believe he's also found there in the book of Revelation. There's just so much. It's throughout the scriptures, and it's just a blessing to be able to study and then learn from these biblical principles that we have been learning from this great Bible character. But as we found that even great Bible characters, they're still men. And Elijah somewhat had a lapse of faith when he came back and from the great mountaintop experience and allowed Jezebel to write a letter to him. And he panicked and he left, he ran. And so now God is taking care of his discouraged, and that's what Elijah would have been. Elijah would have been a discouraged prophet of God at this point because he was upset, possibly even with himself, and doing what he did, and he looked for God to take his life. And so God sends him, the discouraged prophet, to Mount Sinai, which is a 40-day journey at that time during the Bible days. It would have taken him 40 days. But God sends him to a particular place because it's there that God wants to speak to him. And so he goes to Mount Sinai, and as he gets to Mount Sinai, we find that God asks him this question. It's found in verse 9 there of chapter 19. But the question is, what doest thou here, Elijah? And God wanted Elijah to know himself as God knew Elijah. He wanted Elijah to realize the importance of what he was there to do, why he was on this planet Earth, what God was going to wanted to do through him. And that's something that every one of us need to realize, that God has a purpose for our lives. And no matter what the circumstances of our lives, if you are alive, God has a purpose for your life. And we are to be used of the Lord in some capacity, and only God determines how and when and to who that he would use us. And so we find, but if you're here, if you're alive, if you're saved, God has a purpose for your life. And so Elijah, he is thinking his life is over, and God asks him, "What doest thou here?" Elijah answers and the question. After he answers the question, God reveals a spectacular display of his power to Elijah. He shows him a mighty wind that's actually breaking the rocks in the mountains. I understand there was a pretty good storm here while I was away, and we see the debris of everything around here, but nothing like the wind that would have been on display at Mount Sinai that was actually destroying actual mountain rock. And Elijah saw that, this great power of God, and the Bible says, and God wasn't in it. God didn't speak to him through this great event. And then we find that there was an earthquake, and this would have been something that would have shaken everything around Elijah. And even though it was a powerful, powerful movement of the hand of God, that was not how God was to speak to Elijah. And then there was a fire, and this would have been a spectacular display of God's power, maybe fire coming from heaven once again. But the Bible says that God was not in that. This revealed the power of God, but God was not in that. And then after this spectacular display of his power, God speaks to Elijah in a still, small voice. And Elijah received the message of God. Now, that in itself helps us to understand we need to stop looking for the spectacular and listen to his spirit bearing witness with our spirit. Amen? Anytime the word of God is read, God's spirit will speak to your spirit. Anytime that you come to church and you hear the words of God being preached, listen to me, It's not all about the powerful delivery. It's not about the preacher himself. It's just a vessel that God's working through. It's about the power of the Word of God. And if you come hungering and you come ready to receive from God, as long as the Word of God is being preached, God will speak to you. Amen. In that still, small voice. Matter of fact, before we go on, I want to take you to the book of Romans, because this is exactly what the Bible tells us to do, New Testament as well. In Romans in chapter 8, and let me just read it to you. You don't have to turn there. But Romans chapter 8, verse 14 through 16, it says this. Romans 8, 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." If you're saved, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear." The Spirit's never going to lead you to be fearful. "But ye have received the spirit of adoption." You're God's. You're God's child. "Whereby we cry, Abba, Father." The Spirit itself, capital letter S, Spirit, that means the Holy Spirit, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's that still small voice. The Spirit of an Almighty God speaking to you inwardly and bearing witness with your spirit to reveal to you what God has for you. What a blessing that is to know that. Elijah, 40-day journey, sees all this spectacular events, and yet God did not speak to him through all that. No doubt he was amazed, and no doubt he saw the... But it took the still, small voice. And when Elijah, his spirit was ministered to by God's Spirit, Elijah is humbled, he repents, he covers his face. What a blessing. What a blessing. So Elijah's response in verse 13 was that of humility. In verse 14, we find that God asked him the very same question that he asked to start with. His second answer to God's same question was the same words, but a changed heart. That's powerful there. And that's where we stopped last week, if you will. The same question asked, and Elijah gives the same answer, but with a different meaning. He had the same knowledge he had before, but now it's something in his heart has changed. And he's looking to God once again. And so if you're going to stand with me tonight, if you would, we're going to be reading what we're going to be studying tonight. Hopefully that brought you up to where we're at tonight. And a little extra on that as well, but we're going to be looking here at verse 15 down to verse 18. 1 Kings 19, verse 15. "And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abed-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay. Him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him." And let's pray. Father and our God, as we bow before you tonight again, we thank you for this opportunity to be in church. Thank you for how you've already ministered to us. But now as we look to study and preach and teach and reveal the truths of these next few verses, I pray that you would use it and speak to each one of us in that still small voice. For this we ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. So the second answer, Elijah reveals the very same thing before he hears from God and before he repents. But now he presents back to God after God asks him the very same question, and he says the same thing, but it has a different meaning. Have you ever said something with a different meaning? I love you, or I love you. Same words, sometimes different meaning, amen? Whatever it might be, but you understand what was going on here. There was a changed heart, and how Elijah answered God concerning what thou doest here. And so we find with that, this allows Elijah an extended ministry. I believe God took him there, and if his heart had not changed, he would not have been able to continue to serve the Lord any longer. I think he would have went up in a whirlwind at that point. But as we understand the will of God and we see what's taking place here, and he asks him the same question, Elijah answers it with a different meaning to it, a different heart condition. And so we find here that Elijah has an extended ministry, although he has been recommissioned. In verse 15 through 18, God says, all right, I have another mission for you. Now, I love that part of it because it's telling him you're done dealing mainly with Ahab and Jezebel. You're done with that. That mission has been behind you now. You've already accomplished that. Possibly could have ended it better than you did. Amen. But no matter what, at this point, you're not going to have to deal with Jezebel any longer. I've got a recommission for you. I have something else, how I want you to spend the rest of your life and what I want you to accomplish for the calls that I have for you there. There is something else I have you to accomplish before I take you up in a whirlwind. That's what as we understand what takes place with Elijah, he is taken up in a whirlwind. We'll get to that eventually, but we find this is what God is saying to him. I'm going to recommission you. Now there's something else that I have for you to accomplish with the time that you have yet on this earth. Now, although he would still deliver a message to pronounce God's judgment upon Ahab, he will be used to pronounce God's judgment on what will happen to Jezebel, and we will see that he will be able to pronounce a judgment on Ahaziah before God calls him up. But his actual hands-on ministry, his confronting Ahab and Jezebel, that part of the ministry that God had for his life is now behind him. And God says, I've recommissioned you. Can I tell you that as we look to this, and what happened to Elijah is the same thing that happens to all of God's servants. You see, we're never finished with serving God. Things are going to change. Things are always changing because time marches on. But if you continue to be alive as the time marches on, then God says, with this time marching on, you might be recommissioned from time to time. Something that I have for you to accomplish today might change tomorrow. Something that I've got you doing this year might change next year. Something that I've got you doing now, in time, when you are finished with what I've had for you to do then I'm going to, as long as I'm not finished with you. And if he's finished with us, you know what happens? We might not go up in a whirlwind, but we're going to go up, amen? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so God has instilled within us a desire to live. And that is instilled within us to live so that we might glorify God. And so although things are changing, I might not be able to do what I used to do, but there is something that God still has for me to do today. And with whatever strength he gives me, he'll give you the strength to accomplish whatever it is that he has for you to do. Satan cannot take away your ability to accomplish what God has you here to accomplish. Can't do that. And so we find here that Elijah, what a powerful example of being recommissioned to do something else before God would call him on to glory. You know, I believe that families need to understand that the most important thing in civilization is the family. Without a Christian family, you're not going to have biblical churches being able to accomplish what God has the church to accomplish. Before you have someone ready to serve God, somebody has to raise them and influence them to serve God. We've talked about it before, children. God has designed them in a way that they're just eager to learn. And they're going to learn from their environment. They're going to learn from whatever influences their lives. They're going to learn from those in whom they look to as providers, and that would be a mother and a father. And no matter what you're doing, no matter how you're living, you are influencing your children one way or the other. And the first ministry that God gives to us as a family, as a husband and a wife, is to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You do not have a more important ministry than to raise your children as God would have you to raise your children. Their lives are in your hands. And you will give an account for how you influence your children, how you raise your children. Not necessarily how they turn out with their will. They have a free will, and they might turn away from how you have raised them. They might go in a different direction. But listen to me, that is something that we cannot control. But what we can control is how we raise them. That is a mission that God has commissioned you with if He has given you children. That is your first and most important, possibly, ministry in life. They need you. Children need their parents. And parents needs God's church to get the job done. God's designed it. He's designed the family. And from the family, God has established New Testament churches all around the world, if you will. And those New Testament churches have been commissioned to reach the world. And thereby, every member of that church has been commissioned to reach the world. But as we come together as a church, amen, it is something that we have need of in order to accomplish our first mission. If we are going to raise our children as God wants us to raise our children in the society that we live in, we have need of the church and the influence of the church to influence us, to be able to influence our children, and to be able to let our children see that there's more to serving God than just being in our house. Let's go to church, and let's be taught in Sunday school, and let's be preached to, and let's be taught and have examples to look around at, and praise God for the examples of a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. And praise God that if you are wanting to raise your children as God wants you to, then the church will help you and you will appreciate God's church. Amen. Raising children. Somewhat of a first commission. But that's going to change. It changes when somewhat as they go through different cycles of life. When they're little, they need you more than what they're going to need you later on. Because as they grow, they're going to start being more active. The wise parent does not try to suppress a child's desire to be active. A wise parent just directs the child in the right kind of activities. Amen. And there again, praise God for the church. Amen. And praise God for the youth department in the church. Amen. And praise God for every development age of the child in the church where they can go and be helped. Amen. But as they get older, then you're going to find that parenting changes. They don't need as much physical time. And so when you are raising children, the commission is maybe changing as far as your involvement in the church. And you can become more involved. And you can continue to have an influence on your children by being more involved in the ministry that God has called you to in the local New Testament church. As that progresses, we find that eventually you're going to find something that has been labeled as empty nesters. Some are looking forward to that. Others are scared to death about it. But that changes things. possibilities, even greater opportunity to serve in different capacities. God's call to your life might be a little different as you get older and as things in your life changes. What I'm talking about here is as we change, God still has a purpose for your life, and there might be even greater accomplishments as far as the church is concerned as you get older and you have more wisdom and you're able to do more, whatever that might be. I don't think we have a more important ministry that we're called to than to raise our children, establishing Christian homes. And that's why the attack of our society today is on the attack of the home. Amen. Trying to redefine the home. And we've said that several times, but it's so true. And the next step would be to redefine the church, and that's already taken place. No doubt about it. It's just going to get more and more difficult for the church to do the work. I believe when the world, I believe more than just the world, when the United States of America shuts down the church, even so come Lord Jesus, because he's coming. Because God will enable his church and enable the church to accomplish what he wants it to accomplish as long as he has the church here. If the world turns its back on the church and tries to keep the church from doing the work that God has called the church to do, and that's why he raised up this great United States of America for the freedom that we have, when that is stopped, if that ever does get stopped, listen to me, you better be ready, because the trumpet's going to sound and God will take his church out. Things will change. For me, when I remember being called in the ministry, and I thought that I would always be in the youth ministry. I thought that would never change until I got too old to be able to be in the youth ministry. And then, as you've heard me say many times, I thought I'd go into some kind of a camp ministry and finish out whatever God had for me. That was my plan. That was not God's plans. He only allowed me in the youth ministry for 5 years. And then things changed when God called me to pastor. For some 31 years now, I've been pastoring. I would have never thought that that would have taken place. But it led to pastoring. How long will I pastor? You know, that's a question I've pondered myself. A lot of guys my age are already putting retirement plans into place, you know. And I've been asked by many, how long are you going to pastor? We have one of the men in the fellowship that we fellowship with that is a really well-known and highly respected man, Dave Hardy. And he's been preaching a lot about staying too long and running down the church and all the different things. And so because of that, there's been a lot of pastors that have resigned their ministry prematurely, I believe. And then they look back and say, wait a minute, why did I do that? Can I tell you that there's no specific time and there's no specific age? It's all about the leading of the Spirit of God. When I hear God's Spirit say, start preparing, I'll start preparing. When I hear God's Spirit tell me it's time to resign the pastorate, I'll resign the pastorate. Amen? I'm not looking for some kind of a miraculous event to take place. I'm just listening for that still small voice. If I don't hear the still small voice, then I'll continue to pastor as long as I'm able to pastor. Amen? As long as I'm able to be effective in the pulpit, effective in the ministry, then I'm going to continue to serve God. God closes doors and God opens doors. When God closes a door, I need to be willing to stop and maybe change and look for the open door. But if God closes a door, as long as you're still here, there is another door opening somewhere. There is another commission that he has for us. No matter what that might be, you need to be willing to be recommissioned if it's time to be recommissioned. Yes. Retirement, what is that? And we have several in our church now and close friends of ours retiring, you know. And so that means you stop. As I've gone back and looked at some that have retired and stopped, they're gone. I think that sends a powerful message. Stop. Don't ever stop. Be recommissioned. Change directions, maybe a change as far as what emphasis is on your life, but never stop serving God. Amen. Always look for an area. Always look for the place that God wants you to serve. And He'll enable you to serve until He calls you home. Wow. Don't ever stop. Just keep listening for that still small voice. Amen. And do what God has called you to do. Elijah still had tremendous influence. Even though now it's not with, if you will, Ahab and Jezebel. That's done. That's over. Now he's recommissioned. Look what the Bible says. And the Lord said to him, go return on the way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. Really? Who would have thought that a prophet of God would have influence over anointing a king of Syria? The Bible hadn't said much about that. But God knew exactly who was paying attention to his prophet Elijah. God knew exactly who had saw how God had worked through his prophet Elijah. And God says, Elijah, you might not even realize what kind of influence you have, but I understand what kind of influence you have, and I want you to do what I tell you to do. Go by Syria, and I want you to anoint the next king over Syria. And then he says, once you do that, he says, I'm not finished with you there. I said, then I want you to go by, and I want you to anoint Jehu to be the next king over Israel. Wow, that's a pretty powerful recommissioning. He's going to be able to accomplish quite a bit. But then this is a kicker. Yeah, I think this one kind of surprised Elijah. And we'll get into this later on. But it says, Elisha, and he says, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Mechalah, shalt thou anoint to be the prophet in thy room. Whoa. He's going to take my place? And that's, for some, that's hard for them to realize that. Somebody else is going to be the pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church. Now, I don't know about that. This church has never known another pastor. Amen. The recommissioning, somebody else is going to take your spot that you have been working hard at for 20 years, for 30 years. And you say, praise the Lord, I'm ready to give it up. I don't know. There's different thoughts on that. When it comes time, when God says, it's time to replace yourself. Who knows how we're going to feel when that you do hear that still small voice. It's coming. If God doesn't rapture the church, can I tell you, it's coming. Because time doesn't stop. Time marches on. As we'll study, we'll find that although Elijah did not physically anoint Hazael or Jehu, he would have prophesied this as God's plan. It will come under his successor, it will come under Elisha, that these two are anointed, but it was given to Elijah to preach it, to prophesy it. And right after he recommissions Elijah, scriptures turn to recording Elijah's mentoring of his replacement. Next week or the next lesson, we'll study that verse 19 to verse 21, it changes. Can I tell you, this might be the most important thing for us to consider in your life? Who will carry the torch? Or to whom will we pass on the mantle? Who's going to have next generation's Christian homes? Are you preparing your children to take the stands that they're going to need to take in their generation? Can I tell you, those are here tonight. Somehow, some way, somebody prepared you to take the stand for you and your family in what we're dealing with today. Somebody, God has you, somebody in your past that has passed this on to you, that has commissioned you to be able to carry the mantle and to be able to stand with the right church, with the right truths being taught, with the right Bible in this day and age that we live in today. Somebody prepared you for God. Somebody was commissioned and they obeyed their commission, and God used them to have you in this church, in this time, in the things that we are battling today, and you are ready to take the stands that God would have you to take, because they are the stands that need to be taken. But have we prepared the next generation? Have you prepared your children? Or are they slowly but surely drifting away? If they slowly but surely drift away from the fundamentals of the faith, if they slowly but surely drift away from this King James Bible, if they slowly but surely drift away from the kind of music that is honoring to God and to the ministries that God has called us to, reaching the world, what's going to take place in the next generation? Where will the true church leaders come from? Who's going to run the buses in the next generation? There's nobody to better prepare bus workers than bus workers. You ought to be mentoring bus workers. If you're involved, if God has commissioned you, put within your heart, and you've heard that still small voice that says, reach the children! Listen to me, you are the best prepared ones to reach somebody else that God is speaking to be able to pass the torch on to. If you've been teaching Sunday school, listen to me, if you are not mentoring somebody else to be able to take over your Sunday school class or a Sunday school class, where are they going to come from? These instruments up here. You know, it is sad today. It is very difficult to find people that have prepared to be used in God's church just playing instruments. What happened? Well, whoever had the burden to play instruments somewhere along the line, they failed to replace themselves. They failed to maybe share the burden that God put upon their heart and their desire to serve God with their musical abilities. They failed to raise their children maybe to take on that very same mantle. If we don't raise them, who's going to? If we don't learn to prepare people to continue the church and the ministries that God has given to the church, who's going to do that? Listen to me. There's no one else that's going to do it. If we fail to get it done, we are going to fail in our generation. And the next generation will suffer. Possibly the most important thing for us to consider concerning this recommissioning of Elijah. Verse 17, we got to close here. God reveals his plan for Elijah and for everyone else to know about it. His plan is all those who knew better and worshiped Baal, beginning with King Ahab and his family and everyone else, judgment is sure to come. And it shall come to pass, verse 17, that him that escaped with the sword of Hazael, you're going to anoint the next king of Syria, because I'm going to use Syria to discipline Israel. (Laughs) You're going to preach this because exactly it's what I'm going to do. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay. And him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. But can I tell you, I want you to know and the whole world to know, judgment is sure to come. As you've been recommissioned, Elijah, you focus on this, you understand. The world needs to know that judgment is coming. Now, can you think of any other institution that God has established that he said the very same thing to? Maybe Christianity in the New Testament church, in this church age, he's given to us what? The book of Revelation. And the book of Revelation is given to us that we might know, no matter what takes place in this New Testament church age, listen to me, preacher and Christian of every generation of this New Testament, judgment is sure to come. There is a place of hell. God is going to judge the wicked. God is going to judge the rebellious. God is going to judge the sinner. There's coming a judgment day that makes our job important. Elijah, I'm recommissioning you, but your job is very important. You've got more influence than what you know. Use your influence. And be motivated by understanding judgment is coming. Wow. Is that not current for us today? And then before we close, I love this because it's a little P.S. for Elijah in verse 18. Because Elijah said twice, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. He believed that. God couldn't leave that. So he says, oh yeah, and Elijah, know this. Yet have I left me 7,000. Whenever you get thinking you're the only one, listen to me, there's more. Yet have I left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. Elijah, just so you know, there's more that have a desire to serve me. Amen. You're not alone. Amen. What a great message. Not only for Elijah, but what a great message for the church today. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Recommissioned. Are you right there at the place of being recommissioned? Things changing in your life. You don't have to be old to be recommissioned. Just something's changing in my life. God has purpose or he wouldn't allow the change. As long as you're still here, can I tell you, God has a place for you to serve. He has something important for you to accomplish. Be ready to be recommissioned. Be open to whatever God has to say to you with that still small voice. That's God's personal will for your life. Right now is an invitation time. I'm not going to have a musical invitation, but if God's speaking to you, if you need to come to the altar, you can. If you just need to make an altar out of your pew and just commit something to the Lord right now, now's the time to do it. Things change. People don't like change, but things do change. But God is aware of everything. And he has a purpose for every change. Anyone else? Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to be in church tonight. And thank you for the life of Elijah and how we're able to learn and how practical it is for us as well. And I just pray, God, with the message tonight, you'd help us to make whatever application necessary. And as we get ready to leave tonight, I pray that you'd watch over us, get us home safely, bring us back at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name we pray.